is what they desire. It says that you might be filled with the knowledge. Epignosis has the exact knowledge of his will in all wisdom and what? Spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with what? Joyfulness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, many times again, if you just read this on the surface, you may not get the import of what he's trying to say. He's talking to us about the importance of a believer being filled with that which he has received. Receiving is one thing. Experiencing what you have received is another. Why do believers fast and pray, or pray and fast, as the case may be? It's so that that which we have already received, being given, that which is within the circumference of where we are, we ought to experience it. So Paul is saying, I desire that you might be filled with revelation knowledge. What kind of knowledge? Specific, clear knowledge. Not easy, not circumstantial, but that which surpasses your experiences, that will bring you into the experience of the reality of belongs to in Christ. See, that's what I'm praying. It says that what it's meant to translate to is in your walk, so that you will find yourself walking, measuring up. You walk worthy of the Lord unto all that is pleasing. Then we see fruit in the works that show forth in your life. So many times we're asking for fruit when there's no light, when there's no revelation. By the Spirit of God, Paul is teaching us that fruit automatically follows when people have light. So what should we focus? Demanding for fruit or praying for light? Let me ask again. What should we focus on? Demand for fruit or pray for light? I want to see if you've been following. Demand for fruit or pray for light? Okay, so if you are legalistic, you will demand for fruit. But you can't demand for something that light will not bring forth. If you demand for something and you see signs of it and there's no light, that means you have pushed a fellow believer into being legalistic. That kind of fruit never abounds. So he's saying that when light comes, fruit is automatic. You will see believers walking according to measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it can be a bit disappointing for us to have lack in the midst of plenty. When I say lack now, in terms of the inheritance that belongs to us in Christ, for there to be so much boldness, authority, confidence, access by faith, and yet you are not experiencing a quarter of any of those fraction, even though all those things are yours. You're still at the mercy of elements, you're still at the mercy of experiences, you're still at the mercy of things that happen around the environment. Yet the Bible says you can be strengthened with all might according to God's glorious power. Hallelujah. Let's start to our feet tonight. That even as we receive the revelation of God's word, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we will receive the exact knowledge of God's will in all wisdom, as we shall understand and become fruitful in every good work, strengthening, walking worthy of the Lord in all that is pleasing, strengthened with all man according to his glorious power, unto all long-suffering, patience, long-suffering with joyfulness in the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay, so for the benefit of those who are just coming in, now, I asked a question earlier that, did you pray? Did you spend time praying today? How many of us got the prayer focus today? Got prayer focus? If you're in the family, you should have gotten the prayer focus. It was sent through, I think, WhatsApp. So, it's almost compulsory that you must have WhatsApp. It's like it's compulsory now. I mean, it's compulsory more like, that's the only way. For now, that's the only way you can get it. We're not going to put it on Facebook. So, it's for the church, so it's primarily for, so the prayer focus for each day we give it. Why do we give one? So that we can be on the same page generally as a church. Okay, and then remember that these 12 days of waiting upon the Lord and praying, the primary aim is to take care of every month of 2020. That's important. And if you don't eat and you don't pray, you are suffering two dimensions. Okay? Now, we're not going to come to your house to monitor if you are fasting or not. That you won't pray. Because I said something the other time. Fasting is an assist to prayer, not the other way around. Fasting doesn't work without prayer, but prayer can work without fasting. But why the fast? So that you can be spiritually disciplined enough to be sensitive. You are the one who needs sensitivity. God doesn't need your sensitivity to talk to you. You need sensitivity to hear what God is saying to you. Okay? And when you take time to wait upon the Lord, it's not just abstinence from food. The idea is that you are not eating something because you are eating something else. That's the idea. True fast doesn't just mean you're just doing without food. No. If you're doing that physical food, then you must be taking spiritual nourishment. That's the idea of a true fast. So if you're not taking spiritual nourishment, you are not fasting. You are just dieting. That's what you are doing. And dieting is good, it has its place. So when it comes to when the church corporately, and I've always told us that whenever your local assembly is doing something corporately, there's corporate blessing in it. If you identify with that assembly, you must of necessity participate in the spiritual exercise. It's not optional, it's not, I don't feel like, it's beyond feeling. That's an instruction that God has given to the assembly. We started this just about 3-4 years ago, isn't it? And it has been amazing, the kind of results that we have seen. So we don't wait until maybe the first month of the year, maybe January, we do 7 days of glory. There's nothing wrong in that. But we believe that give yourself ample time to have prayed out the will of God. Why do we usually need long times of prayer? I will tell you why. Because do you have to pray long for God to answer? No, you don't have to pray long for God to answer. You have to pray long to pray out all the things that need to be prayed out. It's not God, it's you. All the things that God wants you to walk in and to do and to experience, you are not going to walk in and experience them automatically. That's not the way the world is. It's not every time your soul is in alignment with the will of God. It's not every time. So what does prayer do? Prayer positions you. Prayer makes sure that you have gone beyond your level of understanding to set laws in motion, to release enough power to keep you steady on the right path when it comes to the will of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. Notice it doesn't mention prayer point. It just says a believer should just pray prayer. It's not that, should you have times of prayer? Yes. So when you don't have time of prayer, should you still pray? He said yes. Are you saying pray for no reason? That's exactly what we're saying. Pray for no reason so that there won't be a reason. That means just pray. And the Apostle Paul spoke in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse. This is not what we're looking at tonight. I'm just exhorting us so that we can be reminded on the importance of prayer. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14, 18 says, I thank my God, I pray in tongues more than you all. So if you know that there are things God wants you to do and to accomplish, you realize that those things can be done without the backing of God's power. The backing of God's power is released in the place of prayer. So you praying consistently and constantly should be a lifestyle. Should be a lifestyle. Why? You're flowing, you want to make sure that you are in God's will at all times. The arm of flesh will fail because it has limitations. But they would have waited upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount on wings as eagles. They will walk and not be weary. They what? So that means there's an exchange in the place of prayer. You are not depending on your wisdom, now you are depending on God's wisdom. You have released events long in advance before you get to that particular month, because the person you're dealing with doesn't dwell in the realm of time. So January, February, March, April, May, June, you've prayed them out. They're not months you are going in blindfolded. You are going knowing that the will of God has been spoken out over time. That's why we pray for long hours. The long hours is because it takes time to say all that needs to be said in place of prayer, particularly when you are praying in the Spirit, because the Spirit of God will give you utterance. Now, giving utterance doesn't mean you will say it. That means you give it time. So if your future is important, you trust in God's plans for you. There are things that you thought to accomplish this year, you didn't accomplish. And you know it wasn't God saying, it was because maybe there was not enough power produced to get them done. It's one reason we're looking at this particular series, so that we can understand that a number of things that we don't see manifest is not because God said no. It's because certain preparations were not properly done. So you have to press in, you have to push. God seemingly is limited by how much he can do in a believer's life based on how much the believer prays. So in prayer, we pray out the will of God. It's not just asking for God's assistance, it's that you and God, you are partners. You are praying out the will of God. Somebody says, why are we having fasting? Again, let me for emphasis. You reduce carnality. A lot of things we encounter on a daily basis are things that have to do just with the sense, just feeding the senses constantly. TV programs, magazines, things we see, we do every day, people that we relate with, even associations that you are meant to break away from. Some you've not had the strength to break away from them, and you know those associations are limiting you. but you're not able to let go. When you take time to pray and your heart fasting, what you're doing is that you, the strength, not from outside but from within, wells up on inside. You cut off for certain people because you know that as far as the plans of God for you are concerned, you don't need them in your life. But you have been weak, you've not been able to say no to them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So please take these few days, because 12 days is very small. 3 days in the week out of a 7 day week. Okay? 12 days is not much. For some of us, for the whole year, that's all you do. No other time. You don't fast any other time. You don't pray any other time. So take it very seriously that this is an opportunity to release spiritual ability and strength so that the days ahead, you're not going in blindfolded, you're not going in open, things will happen. You're going in knowing certain things will happen because laws have been released, power has been released. Hallelujah. All right, Ephesians chapter 3. So please keep that in mind, because when you start praying tomorrow morning, whether we are there or not, you are praying knowing this is my life. I have to deal with certain things. Okay? And God can't do anything about it until you stand up to do something about it. Ephesians 3, we're looking at reigning life, and I'm just going to introduce tonight. Hallelujah. Ephesians 3, I'm going to read from verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for ye Gentiles. Please, you'll have to open your Bible. The projector is still not working yet, so it is good. I think it's good. If you've heard of the dispensation of the grace which is given to me to you, this is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2. Verse 3 says, how that by revelation it made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my what? Knowledge in the, say, the mystery of Christ. Okay, so it says, whereby when you read, notice that, when you read, you may understand. I'm going to say it again, even though you've heard it many times. The emphasis after salvation is that what you and I have received is spiritual in nature. It's not physical. That's the first truth to grapple with. What we have received is not physical, it is spiritual. Spiritual means non-material, tangible but non-material. Everything we call a blessing in Christ is tangible and non-material. That it's non-material doesn't mean it's not tangible. It's still tangible in the realm of the spirit. The natural realm is natural, and the spirit realm of spirit is spirit realm of spirit. So it is tangible but non-material. So it says, when you read, you may understand. Okay. My knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Look at verse 5. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And notice that statement, by the Spirit. So Paul is defending the gospel he preaches. Paul tells us that the revelation that he has written down for us in all his epistles, this is what is behind it. Paul says, when you read, the knowledge of the mystery of Christ has been written down in words, in the letters I've written unto you. He now says, realize that this thing I'm communicating to you was not made known in previous ages in the manner in which it is now revealed by the Spirit of God to the holy apostles and prophets. What is Paul saying? He's telling you the giving of the Spirit is a major demarcation between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The giving of the Spirit. In other ages, it was not made known. So the bulk of what we are dealing with when it comes to the epistles is a knowledge of God that was never known by previous generation until Jesus rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the resurrection of Jesus is that turning point in the existence of humanity between what men experience of God and what they know of God. Paul says, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And that knowledge, it was not made known. That revelation knowledge, as it is now revealed or unveiled right now unto the holy apostles by the Spirit. So the Spirit of Christ's primary function in our lives is to make known, to unveil, to reveal to us what we have, who we are, and what we have received now in Christ Jesus. That's the primary assignment of the Spirit of God. Now, let me say it again. Without that knowledge, your normal functioning from day to day as a believer will not work out. We come to church, prayer meetings, and say, why is it that we always pray? We always pray for revelation. Now, as we pray, Paul says, how will it come to pass when you read? So sometimes, the reason why we've prayed so much and you have not seen as much is because you don't read. It says, when you read, a man is asking for leading and direction from God and his Bible remains closed. Think about that. How would the leading come? You're just waiting for a voice to speak to you. No. It says, when you read, you may understand. So God says, understanding is all that's left. Now, again, if you follow your experiences, you won't agree with the scriptures. If you look at your experiences with everything I have gone through, no. I need more understanding, I need power. But the Bible says, when you read, you may understand. It means that the revelation of God's word is supposed to produce an understanding that frees you from deception. That's what it means. When you read, you may understand that which is now revealed by the Spirit. So our focal point is, what is the explanation? What is the revelation? Who are we? Where are we? What do we have? Are we meant to look to our environment to find out what we have? Are we meant to look to the Word of God to find out what we have? That's so important. Look at Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1 from verse 16 says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and what? Revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding. So again, notice, what is the prayer? That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So let me put it this way. Can you be in the center of what God is doing and not be aware? Yes. Can you have the power of God tangibly present and not be aware? Yes. Can you have the favor of God waiting on you to act upon and be unconscious? Yes. If that is not possible, there will be no need to pray for your eyes of understanding to be enlightened. So let's put it this way. A believer in the Spirit in Christ is in the best possible place. Best possible place. But that you are there, and you knowing you are there, are two different things. Now, if a man knows what he has, who he is, what he has, there is no way he can be deceived in life. No way. Deception can work. You know, in many of us, there's situations of superstition here and there. If this happens to you, or somebody says this to you, you are thinking that, Pastor, they took my name to the village. What do we do? Let's pray. Now, is there anything wrong in praying? No. But the question is, what do you think taking your name to the village means? That's the question. So, if you get agitated that they took your name to the village, it's likely that you have more knowledge of what they do in the village than the word of God. So, it's a knowledge. It's just a knowledge. It's not that whatever they do is more powerful. It's just you have more knowledge. Maybe through Nollywood. But you have more knowledge. Now, when you notice you are responding more or reacting more to that knowledge that somebody brought to you, it's because you are not much more conversant or the revelation of who you are in Christ. That's where the problem is. So it's not more power you need, it's more light. Do you understand so far? It's more light. You don't need more power. Something has to happen to your consciousness. Paul says the power that is backing you up is more than you can imagine. But are you conscious? No. You're not conscious. So he's saying, I'm praying for you. I've given this illustration many times. I say, program, give me a spouse or I die. Does it sound like desperation? Yes, it is. What is wrong with that title? Who is being addressed as give me? It's a problem. Because everything that is written, even the epistles, is contrary to that speech. Give me a spouse or I die. And the word give me there is God is being addressed. This is somebody, the Bible says that he gives to women liberally and doesn't hold back. So there's something wrong already. So that statement already stands against the character of God. Can that be answered? No. Because the person is already deceived to think God is the one we told him, which is where Satan's strength comes from. If you can get you to believe there's something God is hiding, he has taken you back to the Garden of Eden, where he told Eve, there's something God has not given you. The same principle. So he says that the eyes of understanding being inward, and that is flooded with light, that you may know. That's not your normal English word, no. He's talking about supernatural comprehension. The one that will not cause you to shake in experiences in life. That you may know. How many of you know God loves you? How many of you know that God has favored you? How many of you know that God will do anything for you? You know, you're answering mentally now. When we say pray without understanding, that's when you know whether you really know. So I can tell you, but you can know. They're not the same. I can tell you and you can know. You can have experience with God's word and you just know. If I tell you, explain how you know, you can't even use words to tell me. You just know in a way it's difficult to explain, that if it is about me, God is crazy about me. But I can tell you and excite you. But when you know, it affects everything you do in prayer, in study. It affects everything. This is the kind of knowing Paul is talking about here. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. That means there was an expectation in God's heart which he called you into. What is meant to happen now that you are in Christ? That's what he calls hope of his calling. What is the expectation? What are you expecting to happen? He called you into something. Those things he called you into, he said that you may know those things that he called you. The reality of those things. So that you are not doing a guess game. Your Christian life is not meant to be a guessing game. You're not meant to step out, hoping some things will happen. It is stepping out knowing some things are meant to happen. That means God wants you to be in charge. That's what he wants. That's what we call it winning in life. Having the knowledge of God such that you are in charge. It's no longer about, it is where you stand that God stands. It is as far as you go that God will go. For you to understand that much has been committed to you, even in a place of prayer. Hallelujah. In place of prayer, that much has been committed to you. So that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Let's read further. I want the riches of the glory of his what? Inheritance. Where? In the saints. Let me ask you, what's another word for inheritance? Maybe a phrase. Something that another works for that you are enjoying. You don't work for inheritance. Somebody else works for. To the person that works for it, it's not inheritance. It is reward. It is you that you are benefiting, that is what? Inheritance. So something that is freely given that you never worked for. That's what inheritance is. And it's talking about what we have in Christ. He now says that the highest understanding being what? And like, how do I know you don't know as you ought to know? Check the things you are saying even when you are praying and when you are not praying. From your statements, it shows that you still need to learn. That you still don't know as you ought to know. So in case you think that we're overemphasizing, we have not even started emphasizing. Because it shows in your prayer. The kind of questions you still have when you are praying shows us that you are still thinking. If you're not thinking that God is like, until you straighten up, I won't give you. Something is wrong with your knowledge. You don't know like you ought to know. If you're not thinking that God wants me to go and confess that sin, otherwise, he will ask Satan to do something new in my life. Something is wrong with your knowledge. So it says that you may know the riches of the glory of the what? Inheritance. Inheritance means what you have come into now, you didn't work for, you didn't do anything to qualify. It was given to you because of who you are now in Christ. Let me say it again. It was given to you. It was a gift. If it is a gift, you can't earn it. If it's a gift, you can't work for it. If it's a gift, you can't lose it. You can't lose it. Because this is not a natural gift. It's what? A supernatural inheritance. The one who worked for it is Christ. Who secured it is Christ. Who released it is Christ. Who gave it to his who? Is Christ. So it can't be diminished by you. All you can do is affect your enjoyment of it. That's all you can do. It can't be taken from you. So when we are praying, as we are waiting upon the Lord, because like I said again, there are many things you want to see in 2020. There are many changes you want to even see now. But God is saying that the primary emphasis in your prayer is that the day you know one or two things, even your prayer points will change. The day you come to realize certain things that God has done, you will know that for God to give his only begotten son, he had to be more than just a ticket to heaven. It's much more than that. It's that through him, you and I may experience liberty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what we have, number one, is spiritual. That's why the eyes of understanding must be enlightened. It is spiritual, it's not natural. It's not physical. Let me show you three scriptures. Not Ephesians 1, look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has what? Blessed us with all in. Is the one place italicized or not? Italicized, isn't it? Heavenly places. You see what place is italicized? So the word place is not in the original rendering, it was added. So what really says that he has blessed with all spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Okay, look at chapter 3 in verse 10. Chapter 3, verse 10. Are you there? To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenlies, not places, heavenlies, might be known what? By the church, the manifold wisdom of God. Look at chapter 6. If you have a good King James, it will always be italicized. Verse 12. Chapter 6, verse 12, the same Ephesians. For we rest not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness, where? In I. Okay, so the word I and heaven is the same thing. Okay, so places is satisfied to let you know in the unseen realm. That's what we're dealing with. He's telling you, why do you need your others to be enlightened? He says what you're dealing with when it comes to forces of darkness is in your unseen realm. That's what he's telling you. It's in your unseen realm. It's not in the natural or unseen realm. So if you have enemies at all, they're not men. That is difficult to accept if you are religious. If you have enemies at all, they are not men. It says what you are contending with are unseen powers who are operating in that unseen realm. So the workplace says that let you see that the workplace doesn't exist. It's talking about the invisible realm around this world. So a believer doesn't begin to walk in his inheritance until he's conscious of the spiritual realities that belong to him by inheritance. He doesn't begin to walk in it. So if all you're conscious about is the natural environment, you're not going to walk in liberty, you're not going to walk in your inheritance, you're not going to walk in authority, you're not going to walk in dominion. That's why that prayer is that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you may know. The power is there, is unseen. The authority is there, is unseen. The blessings are there, they are unseen. They are nevertheless more real. So the part of you that needs to see is the eyes of your understanding. Glory to God. The eyes of your understanding, that you may know what is the hope of his word calling. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So go back to that chapter 1 again, Ephesians 1. Okay? Are we there? So it says, verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us what we believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he what? Wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him where? At his own right hand in the heavenlies. Notice what heaven is again. So places in the heavenlies. So where are you seated right now? In the heavenlies. Why are you physically here? Because your position is in the unseen realm. So in the realm that really matters, you have authority. Yes. How do you walk in authority? The eyes of your understanding being what? Enlightened. That's why it takes repetition of certain truths before it sinks or dawns on you. We have power in prayer. We have power in utterances. The power is in us at all times. The more renewed our mind is, the more the power comes into operation by expression. We're not beggarly. We're not waiting on God to do things. We are co-laborers with God to get things done. Hallelujah. What is then the measure of how much is done? The measure is based on how much you can comprehend of the power that's already where at work in us. Glory to God. So taking your place more than ever before is important now. Playing your part, realizing that the authority and dominion that Christ obtained, he didn't obtain for himself, he obtained for us. John chapter 16. Look at what Jesus said in John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse 7. John chapter 16, verse 7. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you, necessary for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the what? Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will what? send him unto you. Did you say his experience is necessary, is of benefit, is actually better for me that I go away? So if Jesus is saying everything you've seen prior to now, miracles, signs, wonders, exercise of authority, he says is expedient or better that I go away, or there's something better than me being physically here with you. So they could see him, they could feel him, they could touch him. It was with them. It was the answer to their prayers. They didn't even need to do much praying. It was the one doing the praying. He said, is expedient or necessary for you that I go away? For if I go not, the comforter will not come. In other words, if the comforter comes, his coming is better, of more benefit than me staying. That's what he's saying. He's not teaching extinct theory. You know, people have believed that things like, in the Old Testament, God was in operation. In the Gospels, Jesus was in operation. In the Epistles, it's the time for the Spirit. No. It's not extinct theory. It's not that the Father came, they now sent the Son, then the Son now left so that the Spirit can come. No. It's not extinct theory. The Spirit is here to reveal the Father and the Son to us. Say amen. That's why the Spirit is there. So it's not extinct. It's simply telling you that the Spirit is the revelation of the Father and the Son to the believer, inside the believer. So he says, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go away, I will send him unto you. He is telling you that there's something about the Spirit of God being within us. Now look at John chapter 7. I'm just taking us back to certain basic truths because I'm still introducing, which is so important that we cover. John chapter 7. Are you there? Verse 37. Quickly, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers. Now, out of his belly is a reference to Jesus. He's not talking about out of your belly, it's out of his belly, okay? He's referring to himself in the third person, but he's talking about himself. It's out of Jesus' belly. He's the one who gives the rivers. He's the river giver. Amen? Amen. He's the one who gives the river out of his belly. That's the Savior, the Messiah's belly. He's the one who gives the rivers. Okay, so, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Verse 39, but this speak ye of the Spirit, which they that believe on him, notice, they that believe on him should what? Receive. Question, when Jesus was speaking, had they received it? No. So, which they that believe on him should receive simply means that the effect of believing on Jesus, which means to believe in his resurrection, is that men will receive the Spirit. So let me ask you a question. When you receive Jesus, do you necessarily experience any physical change? No. Do you see why the prayer that the eyes of your understanding being what? Enlightened. Now, you change position. You change status. You received an inheritance. You were blessed with a spiritual blessing. Yeah, we can't physically tell. Think about it. I'm trying to emphasize to you, pay attention this evening, about the fact that if God reserved something superior to what Abraham had for you, that thing must be big. Let me say that again. If God reserved something bigger than what Abraham had for you, whatever that thing is, it must be what? It must be big. So, do you see how sometimes difficult it is to explain to a man in the senses how the blessings of God function? Because people believe that if God is going to bless them, it must be physical. But the truth of the matter is this, the blessings of God, when it comes to God giving people good things, both believers and non-believers enjoy that. There are people who trade businesses and they make millions and there's God blessing them. There are people who reject God and they are still blessed because the Bible says the curses is going to fall upon the just and what? Unjust. But there's something they cannot have if they reject God. They can't have all spiritual blessing in heavenlies. They can't have a standing with God. They can't have access to the Father. They can't have sonship in Christ. They can't have. And as far as God's measuring standard is concerned, that far surpasses every physical blessing. Think about it. So, see, this speaking of the Spirit that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that what? Jesus was not yet glorified. So, we know the glorification of Jesus signals the Spirit being given. If everything you can point to or summarize as why Jesus died is giving you the Spirit, you having the Spirit must be bigger than every other thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It must be bigger than every other thing. Am I saying material blessings are not important? Oh, they are. I like financial blessings. I do. I don't know about you, but I do. I like financial increase. But there's something bigger, something better. Glory to God. So it says, the eyes of your understanding says, until you begin to see the reality of spiritual blessings, it's going to affect your walk in God. That you can tell how things will go in March 2020 is far better than Sanjo signing a contract. That you can tell how your family will turn out or your child will fear because of the position that you have in Christ is far better. That you can determine the destination of men because of the authority that Christ has shared with you is far better than natural positioning. That's what he's saying. That the eyes of understanding being enlightened, that you may know. That is, you have authority, standing, status, and power in the realm that really matters in the heavenlies. Glory to God. That's what it means to reign in life. It means to have a say in the affairs of life and not be under subjugation. But you actually have a say. You can determine outcomes because of what you have in Christ. See, this speak ye of the Spirit, which they that believe in me should receive. But the Spirit was not yet given. So the question, has the Spirit been given? Has the Spirit been given? So it says, in the Spirit being given, what he has given you is all spiritual blessing in the heavens. Those spiritual blessings include your authority in Christ Jesus. That in Christ right now, when it comes to the realm of the Spirit, you have authority. Not just some, but absolute authority. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's so important that we understand. So that Ephesians 1 again, go back to Ephesians 1. We've not even read the text for today, really. We're just starting from somewhere. Ephesians 1, are you there? Hallelujah. Verse 19 again. It says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards what we believe, according to the working of his word, mighty power, which he wrought where? In Christ. When he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand where? In the heavenlies. And that says, far above all principality and power and might. So every time you're reading, he raised him, he set him far above, is a reference to Christ and to everybody where? In Christ. Let me say that again. Every time you read, he raised him, he set him far above, is a reference to Christ and to everyone who is where? In Christ. So you see, he set him far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over what? All things to the church. And the church is his body. It's the fullness of him that what? Fills all in all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he's telling you, you are identified with him in that resurrection, in that exaltation, in that sitting. You are identified with him. Whatever is spoken of him is spoken of you also. That's what it means to be blessed with all spiritual blessings. That's actually what it means. It means every status and standing that God can possibly have, which he gave to Christ, Christ has also automatically given to you. That's what it means. That's what it means. That's what it means to have the inheritance in him. The riches of the glory of inheritance is not physical. It's not talking about material, even though God blesses people with material wealth. It's talking about the fact that in that realm of the Spirit, where things happen, that's the cosmic realm, you have a clear understanding and you can produce tremendous results, which is one of the reasons why we pray the way we pray. You have power, you have authority, you have say. You bring those things to bear, having revelation knowledge of who you are and what you have. You know, you're not going to go out to dare to do anything when you don't know whether it is yours or not to accomplish. So the degree to which you can function is limited by how much you know you comprehend. How does your eye of understanding get flooded with light? In degrees. It doesn't happen overnight. You don't get to learn everything at once. In stages and in degrees. Hallelujah. So as we look at the same truth over and over again, what you didn't see the last time it was taught, you begin to see now. Because let me say it again, you will be at the mercy of experiences in life when you don't have access to the truth. In Psalm 82 verse 5, Jesus, well, not Jesus, the spirit of the prophet spoke and said that they know not in that way they understand. So they walk on in darkness. I have said, all of you are gods. Psalm 82 verse 5. let's read it. Psalm 82 verse 5. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the heart are out of course. Next verse. I have said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Look at next verse now. But, can you see that? But you shall die like men, and do what? Fall like one of princes. What is the problem with the experience? They know not. Jesus quoted this in John chapter 10. They know not. I have said. So what I said is what they don't know. What I said is a fact. What I said is a reality, but they don't know. It says because they don't know, they can't walk in the reality of what I've said. So that means that I said it doesn't mean it's come to pass. Or they will experience it. And I said it simply means that is what is available to them. Their understanding of it enables their walk. That's what it's saying. So I will walk to the degree to which I understand what is what available. Glory to God. I can only walk to the degree to which I understand what's available. So as we're going through this, what we're going to do is we're going to look closely more at the details. What were you delivered from? Have you been delivered? Have you been rescued? Do you act like you have been delivered or rescued? Ask yourself that question. Do you really know what you are delivered from? Do you know what you are meant to rule over, exercise authority over? Do you know what it means to be a joint heir with Christ Jesus? Do you know what inheritance that you have received by the resurrection of Jesus? Do you know? Because when he says, the eyes of understanding being enlightened, he's saying what you are meant to see and know. You will see those events as though you were there. You will see the magnitude of what God is expecting of you because of what he has done. Let me put it this way. Do you know that what God has done is one thing? What you enjoyed, what he has done is another thing. If I give you a blank check, let me give you an illustration. And I tell you to go to a shopping mall, and I say that, pick anything you want to buy. Two things will govern what you pick. Number one, your estimation of how wealthy I am. Number two, your estimation of how generous I am. I can be wealthy and not generous. How many of you know that? Yeah, so I can be wealthy and not generous. Number three is the most important. You're being bold to take advantage of my generosity. How bold are you? So sometimes that something is offered to you doesn't mean you enjoy it all. Have you tried to bless people and they're saying it's enough, it's enough, it's okay like this? They were feeling uncomfortable about making more demands. And the person that is offering them is not afraid of their demands. Many times as children, that's how we are with God. You are afraid of making demands. Like, God, no. You just bless us with a new house. My husband got a new job. And at least we're no longer in debt. That is enough. And God is thinking of how you'll be lending to people. But you're already intimidated. You're like a Nigerian. If they have light on their hotel for 7 days, he starts calling for help. Why haven't they taken light? What are they planning? What's going on? Because you have the condition to suffering. I don't know why they're not taking light. What are they up to? They are planning an outrageous bill. You start giving reasons. When now don't even bring bill, you said, I know they are planning something for us. When you bring bill. Now, walking with God in light of what Jesus died for is like that. It is one thing to hear what he has done. It is another thing to know the intimate details. The intimate details give you boldness. It's not surface knowledge. It is specific knowledge that's clear. You know specifically. When we say that we have been delivered, Colossians 1, look at Colossians 1. That's what we want to accomplish this series. Because when we say we are delivered, you better know what it means to be delivered. Colossians 1:13. Present tense or past tense? Present tense or past tense? Present tense or past tense? Okay, let me explain that. Who has delivered us from the word power is not the word dunamis. The word power here is the word authority. Exousia. So there are two words which are used for authority. For power is dunamis or exousia. Dunamis is miracle working ability. Okay? This other one is authority. That's exousia. So it says, who has not from the authority or the domain of darkness and has what? Translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Both are in the past tense. Now, the word delivered here implies that which is done in such a way that cannot be reversed. Let me put it this way. To want deliver them is that to bring, I don't want to use the Greek word because it doesn't mean you shed more light. It means to bring you out of something. Somebody came to somebody who held another in captivity. And that person now meets that person, takes away the captive from him, doesn't just release him and set him free, releases him and takes him to himself as his own personal subject. So the process cannot be reversed. You are not left in limbo. You are now a subject, a servant, and a citizen of the country that rescued you. Hallelujah. Do you understand? So he says, what has delivered us from the authority? Where were you before? You were under the authority of darkness. Whether you admit it or not, you were. And has translated us. So where are you now? The kingdom of his dear son. So who is your Lord presently? Jesus. That's what he's saying. You have to know the specific details. Hebrews chapter 2. Look at the kind of words that were used. Verse 14. What Jesus accomplished. To explain this, Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14. For as much then as the children are one, partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same. What does that mean? It's telling you why God became flesh and blood. Why did God become a man? It's because the children, or those that will become heirs, those that will become sons of God, they were flesh and blood. That's what he's explaining here. It says, for as much then as the children are partakers, or they are men, flesh and blood is reference to men. Since they are men, it says, he also became a man. So that through death. So, what is common to men, according to this verse? Death. Can God die? Can God die? But if God becomes a man, can he die? Yes. So, he's telling you how far God went to get you to where you are now. So, wherever you are now is not a small matter. That's what I'm saying. You see why the prayer for revelation is important. Wherever you are now, you have more authority, more power at your disposal than you realize. It says, so that through death, he might what? Destroy him. Again, if you look at the word destroy in English, there are two different words. If you look at English language, it looks like it says annihilate. No. The word destroy means to paralyze. It's like to sack somebody from their work. If you work in a corporate environment and you use key parts to come to the office, for instance, if they sack you on a Friday and you are not aware, when you get to the office on Monday, you'll be aware because your keypad will no longer work. Your pass will have been revoked. I mean, even know what I'm talking about. Pass. So he said, he did not destroy Satan as in to physically alight him. He rendered him useless. So yeah, where you are concerned, he can do nothing. That's what he's saying. He says, he destroyed or paralyzed him that had the power of death. That is what? The devil. Next verse. And delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to, or released them from whatever held them captive. That's what he's saying. All these statements are statements that explain the details of our redemption. So again, this is why if you think the battle that took place in hell was a physical one, already you have been deceived. Because Jesus did not deal with physical foes. So as far as men are concerned, when you're going to wage war, it has to be physical. As far as spirit beings are concerned, when you're going to wage war, it has to be what? Spiritual. So when Moses, he has left from the authority of darkness, you ask the question, how did he come on the authority of darkness in the first place? Because he had to be a man to do it. He became a man and used death as a weapon. So death was a weapon against man and was reigning over man. Then Jesus used that same weapon to destroy the one who was wielding that weapon over men. Glory to God. When you know the spiritual process, that spiritual light dawning upon you grants you boldness every single time. You know, there's this ungodly mindset. Believers expect that if they miss it one day, Satan will strike. You have just attributed too much authority to him. Think about it. It just means, listen, you should not walk in sin. It's not wise in any way. A sound believer doesn't walk in sin, but I ask every question. If you do sin, your sin is family business. That's why God forgave you of your sin. It's family. That means that it is God that you are meant to discuss with it. You shouldn't step out of line and then be expecting that Satan is that quick. It is not his business. He was rendered useless on your behalf. Hallelujah. He was disarmed for your, on your behalf. That's what the Bible says. So that you can actually be a son of God in a way. So through death, he destroyed him, paralyzing that the power that, that is the devil, so that he can deliver those who through fear. So it wasn't through death, it was through fear of death. Let me rephrase that fear of death. Through the expectation of evil happening, they were subject to the devil. So if something happens to your consciousness such that you are no longer expecting evil to happen, do you think Satan will still have strength or power against you? No. That's what he's saying here. He delivered those who true fear of death. Well, so without the fear, men will not be subject to the operations of darkness. It was a fear that made them subject. What brought the fear? A knowledge. What was that knowledge? The knowledge of sin that brings death. So what did Jesus do? Through death, he destroyed sin. When he destroyed sin, there was nothing to fear. If there's nothing to fear, the enemy is paralyzed. It's a process. So it was not open, because when you are seeing, have you seen all these dramas that they play? And Jesus was in hell and they tied him down. He now gave them uppercut. Gives it an uppercut after the. And then you also are thinking that Jesus, when the Bible says spoiled principality, he just gives it an uppercut, left hook, right jab. They use something to chain him down. You also are imagining a physical fight. Between spirit beings, a physical fight. No, no, no. It's a matter of authority. Hallelujah. He destroyed him that had the power of death. Where did that power come from? Fear. Where did fear come from? Sin. What produced that sin? Knowledge. So it's a process. So Jesus went to hell, the only place where he could actually, he paid for sin through death and used the opportunity of death to render Satan inactive concerning us. Hallelujah. So that when he rose, it was recorded that we rose. When he ascended, it was recorded that we also what? Ascended. And he couldn't rise except sin had been settled. So his resurrection was an announcement. Sin has forever been judged. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Why do we emphasize so much on the resurrection of Jesus? My brother and sister, it is the crux of the ages. If there is no resurrection, there is no forgiveness of sins. If there is no forgiveness of sin, there is no freedom for Satan's hold. If there is no freedom, we are subject to spiritual death forever. So through death, he destroyed him, paralyzed him, that heart, a heart he no longer has. Even the keys to his house, he doesn't have any longer. No, 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 it's true. I'm not joking. No. Revelations 1, Revelation 1, Revelation 1. Look at what Jesus said after he rose. In the relation that he appeared to John, look at what Jesus said. Revelation 1, 18. I am he that liveth and was. What do you think Jesus is referring to? What do you think he's referring to? I am he that liveth and was. What do you think he was referring to? It's so simple, you should have seen it now. I lived and I was dead. When did he live? The 33 and a half years when he became a man. So I'm he that liveth. I what? And was dead. Dead. Behold, I'm alive. How long am I alive? When you read that, write it in your Bible. I'm victorious forevermore. I'm free from sin forevermore. I'm delivered from the authority of darkness forevermore. I'm free from Satan's control forevermore. Everything about you and Christ is forevermore. This your status is forevermore. Hallelujah. That's how you read it. If it is true that he lived, and it is true that he died, it is true, that he's alive and is forever, your victory is forever, your dominion is forever. Hallelujah. That's how you are an overcomer forever. That's what it means. Look, Jesus is saying amen to it. So he's informing John, I mean that living I was dead, I'm built, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys. The keys really signify authority. That means Satan does not determine who goes to hell. He doesn't have the right. That's why Jesus could tell us in Matthew 28:18, go ye therefore and preach the gospel, not to Jews, in every nation. The scope of authority has changed. It's every nation. So think about it. As a joint heir with Christ, because you reign with him, the lives of men are even in your hands. And Jesus is trusting that when you open your mouth, the ability he has placed within you will bring about salvation of men. That is serious. That's no longer. In fact, you're preaching the gospel and men being saved should let you know you are no longer the authority of darkness. You are a terror to the works of darkness. It's just that these things are so simple, you need help to miss it. You need help to miss it. How can you be under Satan's dominion? And he has already told you, go and preach. Go and preach is a sign that you're no longer there. In fact, you are sent as a deliverer to bring men out of that same condition. Hallelujah. But if you that you are free thinks you are bound, it's a problem. The gospel will never be sweet on your lips. Because you are thinking like those you are sent to. That's why Paul is praying. The eyes of your understanding being what? You may know what is the hope. What has he called you into? He called you. Some things are meant to be happening now that he called you into. That's the hope. That's the expectation behind that call. That you were not called into emptiness. You were called into something. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, which he accomplished in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So when you hear Jesus rose, don't look at it strictly as he rose. Remember, it means that you also rose. Because whatever happened to him happened to you also. If you can never be condemned about sin again, you can't be condemned about sin again. Hallelujah. That's the liberty that we have in our union with Christ Jesus. That informs the way we pray. Informs the way we carry out activities in life. We are saviors on the earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now again, pay attention. That prayer, as simple as it sounds, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the glory of the riches of inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness. So you sit down and tell yourself, the exceeding greatness of God's power is at work within me. All the authority that backs heaven and earth is at work in me. If nothing can say no to Christ, nothing can say no to me. Before you think of one man sitting somewhere and putting a spell on you to belong. Pastor, I cannot go to our village. They are very devilish there. In that village, two people I know are already dead. If I go, that's why you must go. Because you are freed. And we must deal with the fear. Because wherever there is fear, Satan will have a foothold. Think about it. Imagine Mr. T now dreaming overnight. That I became a woman. He now gets up and starts praying. Brethren, church, please just pray for me. Satan's plan must not come to pass. I must not turn to a woman. What will you think? You just say, which film did I watch? You give me. You won't even think of praying. Somebody says, why? Because you know that you know that you know that that can happen. That is the conviction that God wants you to have. Without that conviction, you can't walk worthy of the Lord until that is pleasing. You can't walk worthy. Because the truth is there, the reality is there, the power is there, the backing is there, but your experiences will not line up. And until your experiences line up, you cannot be said to be walking worthy of the Lord until that is pleasing. Your experiences have to line up. So we're doing an immersion in God's word this season. As we're delving into the word, we're praying in the Holy Ghost. We're waiting. What are we doing? There has to be a consciousness of what God has done for you in Christ. That's, you need to increase in the knowledge of God. This isn't like never before. You've seen the scripture that says that it's going to pass in that day that the burden shall be lifted from your shoulders and the yoke from off your neck. Have you seen that scripture before? Isaiah chapter 10 verse 27. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the... Should I tell you the original meaning of that verse of scripture? When you put a yoke on an animal, that yoke fits the animal's neck. If the animal gets fat enough, the yoke will become too small and the yoke will break. So figure of speech, what he was saying, the restraint is not big enough to contain you, and the day you know it's not big enough, the restraint will give way. That's what that scripture is teaching. The restraint will no longer be able to hold. Not because the enemy got weaker, you got stronger. So it was a limitation before until you know. Now, that yoke, that fatness in that sense is revelation knowledge. You just know now because all the ability that rose Jesus from the dead dwells within you right now. If God be for us, who can what? Be against us. Don't just mouth it. Know it. Know it. 2020, there'll be strange miracles. Oh, there'll be miracles. Miracles from phone calls. I said that to that person on the phone. The person, by the time I got home, everything had changed. It's changed miracles. Because I see it as though God is just waiting on tiptoe. You know, when God is anticipating and he almost can't wait any longer for the saints to fall in place, to line up. Miracle positioning and placements. Jobs are plenty. Hallelujah. Opportunities. Tremendous opportunities. Stop me the enemy in his tracks. No more room for harassment and oppression. 2020. Hallelujah. When you hear news and bad news on one side, towards you, good news will constantly be coming. Constantly be coming. I speak to you by the Spirit of God. There will be this strange awareness in believers' lives. There will be a darkening, a pressure upon the hearts of men that will bring constant discouragement. All they will see is that it can't be done. But in the camp of the righteous, all you are seeing is many things that can be done. You can't explain why you are bold. You can't explain why you seem to want to do more. It's not as though the economy looks better. When it was better, you didn't have this boldness. Now that it seems worse, there's this strange boldness that you just have. It's not natural. It's the Father's doing. And marvelous works will begin to spring forth. You dare it, you see it. You step out, amazing results follow you. You attend to things with ease. You see gift of special faith working in an unusual way. Not just in healing the sick and providing, it will operate in opening doors. Those are like, if we prayed 10 years, we can't get this kind of results in one single year. In one single year. When it starts, you wake up as though you are in a dream saying, is it really happening? Am I dreaming? The magnitude of the workings of God, 2020. The magnitude of the workings of God. You will see strange and amazing testimonies. The glory of God bringing to pass your desires. So if there's any instruction you need, this is where desire. Spirit of God says to tell you desire. Desire again. Recalibrate your desire. Renew your mind and set your standard higher. For there's nothing that your Father cannot do. There's nothing that your Father cannot accomplish to you. Say this is how it will be by the month of June. It will be exactly so and beyond that. Everything you call expectation, it will surpass it. It will go beyond it. For you to be as though a day and a night and everything has changed. Everything has changed. Hallelujah. The exceeding greatness of his power to us what that believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought. It's already wrought. It's already accomplished. Now we're going to walk in it. We're going to use it. We're going to experience it. And for some who have never thought they could walk free of ailments and sickness, 2020, they will prove his healing power. They will prove his healing power. They will prove his preserving power. You will walk without sickness. You will walk without disease. You will even have a headache to deal with. Everything that's called depression will go. Everything that's come again will vanish. You will walk in sound health every single day of 2020 in the name of Jesus. So get ready. Set your hope and your gaze. Let your desire reach for stronger and deeper things. Don't hold back. A check is before you. It's blank. Feel it. Fill it with desires. And say, it's my Father's work. I have an inheritance. I refuse to be cornered. I refuse to be backed up into just one area. I spread my wings and I fly. And I glide over into new experiences. And that which I will have will surpass all that I've had in the previous years. I will have more and more and more and more. And for some, revelation will come of Psalm 23. He has set a table before you. Before your enemies, you will eat and take more, 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 and take more. You will not be bound within the circumference of a 7-to-5 job. No, 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 no. There will be much more liberty to go beyond that circumference. He is your provision. He is not just your helper, he is your help. He is not just one who assists you, he is your assistance. For it will bring you to a place of fulfillment and weakness. For the times are changing and the tide is turning. And the camp of the righteous shouts of joy and rejoicing. And thanksgiving will increase on every side. Where in those days, where in those times, much to leave the children, much to leave to your children, much to leave for your children's children, much to set up. So 2020 will be a year of building legacies, of setting aside things that will last and endure for the years to come. Yes, as men get more serious about the gospel and more consecrated, so also they'll be able to amass material and financial blessings that will go a long way to getting things to work. So position yourself and set your course and set your heart, saying, in 2020 I'm going to have all I desire. There will be nothing left. I will have all that desire. Financial and material blessings will come my way. I will not be hindered in the projects and the plans that I have. Everything I've set out my heart to do, I will have it. Will you just pray in the Spirit in the name of Lord Jesus? Just pray in the Holy Ghost and rose. But give him half of us all. How shall I not with him also freely? Give me all things. I have all things. I have all things in Christ. All things are mine. Dear Sopo, I'm not beggarly. I'm not weak. In the name of Jesus, I have boldness with access by faith. Into all that the Father has. And I take hold. 2020 is a land of opportunities. I take advantage of opportunities that arise. My eyes see. My ears here, my heart comprehends. I'm bold, Alange. Leshe brosta bragata. My faith is at an all-time high. Ete kenobus osev raste branasto. Londre shibro gota enagrasto. O kalav raste legiesto. Ese brosta bragato linga enagrasto so. Efreshte mandro chukolo lembreshte. Ene kungrosta frostia. Esa sobrose bragata Alange. Eka grike digle digle shibro kuse bragato. Eso brone Evrananto ligeste, e grasto monga, e freste legile gante liata shendo, o give restambro di enamanga, e gante liata shibrosta, e la cubros, e freste vranagato le manjo il gaste. Enre costa e criuso sobro costa vrangato e nelle nene canda e grosso sobro stevrananca e cacche le vrachi che sevre cile brucosta. It doesn't matter what has happened in the past. I refuse to stay where I was. I declare in the name of Jesus, I make excellent progress. I stride into new things in Christ Jesus. I step up. Ele graste sebro negata rea ele imbroche brongo sevre diga ninga ite galega. 2020 is a blessed year for me. Elashi broke if Ranan Glassigezige. I do much more. I experience much more. I enjoy much more about the power of God. E Kasama E Subronian Galangia E Grio Suzubu Lisha Brunda Castle Lisha Grumbo Sibredika Igros of Rananto Lontraba Lefriji Lengrish Breste Kosa Bragache E Kakana Bragita Munya Esse sobroste vredi la shite esandreko la proste vredi akalangatika. Oh, my heart is indicting a good matter. Elefroste vragasa God. The light of God's word floods my heart in the name of Jesus. A supernatural boldness as a conscious man awareness of the revelation of the truth of God's word that drives me forward, that propels me ahead in life. 2020, I exercise absolute dominion in every area of life. Exercise God's ability ceaselessly in the name of Jesus. I see Janangin as a walkover. I bring all things into subjection without fear, without hesitation. But supernatural boldness rules and dominates all my experiences. And let grace to begin say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. And as Sambo, Evreti Legiste, Leshubro Pataka, Mesubrenia, Evretico Brakata, and Akanti, Elino Oko, Evro, Elevrashi Bresti Gonzo, Elegrakis Evreste, Elekangra Casabrodiga, Elemakado, Elopune Katu, Yoshubrostegi, Elengresti Montalante, Ekana Brakucho, Ibrekile Breshi Brugusta Bragata. Anka la push le sobroti elene cabrosio ye break is broke stefredia talagi any anada cane and you no monso oproni ele roche ele manja casobrodia branangalagata et ana piste po I'm a king of Brusta Vraste, and you know Sebran and Cola Bradanke, and Kaki Gesibre, Ele Brusta Franakata Nika, is a year of sound health, is a year of accomplishing much, is a year of taking over, Messevra Tikala Branko Brananga Tika, new things that the Father has made available for me, in the name of Jesus, Ela Graste Nugo, I'm not constrained or confined, but my course is enlarged supernaturally, in Ela Monsevra Tiko, Lord Brusteke, the ability of God puts me. Over and I grasped it. Let's see, bro, go stuff for that pony. And come the brush to Lombronia Vrana Copai. It is Shibro, every Tiala Mongre, a gross of Rose Fatalana Kata Ite, a Shibrado Kondo, oh, Brane Angalangia, and a Kungose, a Fretile Kakiligri, a Shibregasto, Les Abrocos Evradaka, a Kaka Dilegri, a Kelegre Gletio, Lombroji Vraste, and a Samo. Efretia, Elegriosta Branagoto, Unomonia Mas, Enemonza Bradangalangotui, Enemasto, Enembretiaco, Ekigrososopaya, Efroste, Elessa Bradaka, Edacano, Efriana Sobroni Frediana Gata, Enion Sobronica, Ekaka Sevresti, Elejubrosta Bradata, Etilebrosta Bragaste, Engreste Book, Atelegriste, Essefro Savranangui, Eniakaka. Sebre, Esafra Copanagati, Ele Cresubrusta, Ele Simro, Efret and Englishte, Ele Suprata Core, Etiala Prushta Vredigada, here we forge ahead, oh the speed, oh the supernatural speed, Ele Grasigo, Father we pray, in operation the gift of special faith upon every saint, in expression, to do more, to do much, to accomplish mighty things, Ele Grastegele, the gift of special faith. Oh, Prasteliga Katelegi, miracles are wrought, signs are wondrous. Oh, they spring forth in abundance. Ele Grass Evredanka, 2020 is a year of doing, of doing, of doing, of doing, of doing, of doing. Ne Hasebredigene, we cast off all the straight. Le Grasta, we pray for every saint in this house that they'll be strengthened with might by your spirit in their inner man. Ele Grasta Gosama, a supernatural consciousness. Of awareness of their victory in Christ, we dominate. All their fears, all we see progress. We receive abundant testimonies from every quarter, in every home, in every family, of tangible progress being made. Of tangible progress being made. Let's abrogosa. 2020, all things are possible. 2020, all things are possible. 2020, all things are possible. 2020. All things are possible. No more limitations. We go beyond every limitation. No more boundaries. We unleash the ability of God in all areas of life. All things are possible. Sibro gutada, eka ketia, echubo nivra da kaso, eka sebre, efrias to broko sebra gata, ede hango, linia broko givre ka sebra gata nika. I Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In John chapter 15, I want to show you something. Well, let me go to John chapter 6:15. Let me just go to Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, and I'm going to read, I'm trying to get the best passage to convey what I just saw. Glory to God. 2020, a year of possibilities. All things are possible. All things are possible. Yeah. In verse 27 of Mark chapter 10, Jesus, looking upon them, said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are what? Possible. All things are possible." Because we're going to pray for boldness. You are not going to be found sitting down, slack, complacent when every other city is running. We're going to run next year. We're going to run next year. You have to see the tremendous power of God at work in and through you. Hallelujah. In and through you. Let me show you something. In John's Gospel chapter 15, I was about to say that John's Gospel chapter 15 and verse 7, I want to read John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 7 says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." The original meaning says, "If I don't have it, I will create it for you. If you ask what you will, and I don't have it, I will create it for you." You have no excuse. That if it's possible for you to ask for something I don't have, you cannot ask for what it doesn't have. But he's telling the sacerdotes of the altar that if, in case I don't have it, because you ask for it, I'll create it for you. So all things are possible. So we're praying for boldness. Now, I said that because of some of us that may need to recalibrate our desire. If it's not, if I don't have it, I will create it for you, specifically for you. Do you understand tonight? So when we're praying for boldness, Bible says we already have boldness. We're praying it into expression. You'll be ruled and governed by that supernatural boldness. I told you earlier that the gift of special faith will be a walk in a different dimension. So that when it's opportunities, you are not naturally like that. It's that you put on your supernatural nature, and that's what's in expression constantly. From January to December, in the name of the Lord, let's pray in the Holy Ghost somehow. That we not drawing back, no slackening. The supernatural boldness will dominate the hearts of all the saints. We will reach forth. We will stretch beyond where we are. We will not be held back by experiences that are contrary to the truth of God's word. God's word will be our motivation. The leading of the Spirit will be our source of confidence. The leading of the Spirit will be the source of our confidence. We will be bold to step up, bold to do things. Things we've not accomplished for many years. 2020 will be a year of accomplishing much, much, much. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. 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 You know, one of the reasons why we come together in the evening to listen to God's word and then to pray is that the prayer points we pray in the evenings like this are not always stereotypes. We actually trust the Spirit of God to lead us, okay? And that's the best way to pray a lot of times. Thank God for, we have prayer points that we're going to have during the day we're praying about. But sometimes we come together as a church, there are things the Spirit of God will drop. Now, when we're praying just now, I saw something, and I know that it was a prayer about you. Now, it says that there are many who have been freshly released into specific kinds of ministry who are still procrastinating. Now, we're going to pray to push them beyond that point, to help them, to push them. You see, when God calls you to a ministry, at the end of the day, you will stand to give account of whether you did it or not. Now, it says there are many people who presently, the challenge they have all over the place, I'm not talking about here now, all over the place, they are in that place of procrastination, hesitating, should I do it? So, we're going to pray for clarity, we're going to pray for strength in their inner man. To step out, to launch out, to feed the will of Father. Let's pray for them. Father, we pray. We pray for your ministers led all over the world. You've spoken to their hearts. You've revealed things to them. Now we pray that they will leave that place of procrastination. That there will be a surge of supernatural boldness. We pray and release enough power to move them ahead. To agree completely with your will. And step out, trusting your provision, trusting your Spirit, trusting your grace, standing in your power, walking in the fullness of your will, glorifying the name of Jesus all across the globe. Testimonies abound and brochure. All things are possible. All things are possible. In the name of Jesus, we give you glory. We give you honor, Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.